Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the biblical accounts of Jesus' passion, and in fact in all that we're told about Jesus' life and ministry, there is one of Jesus' disciples whom we learn much more about than the others. That disciple is Peter. And I'm thankful that it is, because there's a lot that we can learn from Peter about life as a Christian in this world. Have you had days where you were filled with such gratitude and love for Christ that you felt like you would do anything for him? Have you also had days when you looked at yourself and questioned whether you even really deserved to be called a Christian? Have you had some of those high points and low points on the same day? Well, the Lord knew that we would have those kinds of experiences. And I believe that that is largely why he made sure we would know about Peter. When you read the gospel, some of the strongest displays of dedication to Jesus that we see are from Peter. And in those same gospels, some of the biggest disappointments or failures that we see are also from Peter. And often, those highs and those lows were seen on the very same day. For example, when the disciples were once crossing the Sea of Galilee at night, and they saw Jesus walking to them on the water, it was Peter who had the faith to step out of the boat and to join Jesus on the water. But that faith didn't last long, because as Peter turned his focus away from Jesus and on to the waves that looked so threatening, he became afraid and started sinking. Jesus reached out his hand, helped him up, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" A couple months or so after that, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And it was Peter who responded and answered for them, giving the good confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus praised Peter's answer and said that it was on the solid rock of that good confession that Jesus would build his church. But then it was just after that, still in the same conversation, that Jesus told his disciples that he would be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests and elders and scribes and would be killed. And Peter again spoke for the disciples as he responded by saying to Jesus, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." To which Jesus replied, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." To reject what Jesus was teaching about his suffering and death was to miss the very heart of Jesus' mission as our Savior. Peter had rightly said that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, but he was completely missing what Jesus' Messiahship was really all about. And Peter was still missing or denying that on the night of Jesus' arrest. As we heard in our gospel reading from Luke, when Judas led the soldiers from the chief priests to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus, one of Jesus' disciples drew a sword and struck one of the high priest's servants, cutting off his right ear. In John's gospel, we learn that the disciple who did that was Peter. Now, on the one hand, it's hard not to respect the courage that Peter showed in trying to come to Jesus' defense. But again, Peter was misguided and was missing still the real significance of what was happening. Jesus was not a man of violence, and Jesus did not need Peter's defense. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its place. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" Jesus then reached out and healed the servant's ear and let himself be taken by his captors so that he could the next day go to the cross for us so that by his wounds we would be healed. So the soldiers bound Jesus and took him to the palace of the high priest, where throughout the night he stood on trial before the Jewish authorities. And it was outside the building where he was on trial, in the high priest's courtyard that night, that we see Peter's deepest fall. Earlier that night, Jesus had told his disciples that they would all abandon him that very night. Quoting the prophet Zechariah, Jesus had said that the shepherd would be struck and the sheep would be scattered, each their own way. But when Jesus had said that, Peter had responded by insisting that it would not be so for him. Peter said to Jesus, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus then said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter responded, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." Hours later, Jesus was arrested. His disciples fled. But Peter followed from a distance, wanting to find out what would happen to Jesus. So he came to the high priest's courtyard, hoping to observe anonymously. People were warming themselves around a fire there in the courtyard. So Peter sat down among them. And that's when things began falling apart for Peter. A servant girl looked closely at Peter and said that she was sure she had seen him with Jesus. But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else said they too recognized him, that he was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter said, "Man, I am not." About an hour after that, still another insisted that Peter was a disciple of Jesus. But he responded, saying, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." While he was speaking, a rooster crowed. At that very moment, Jesus turned and looked out into the courtyard and looked at Peter. Peter remembered how the Lord had said to him earlier that same night, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, if that were the end of Peter's story, then, like Judas, he would serve as a warning for us. But today we give thanks to God that that was not the end for Peter. And he serves not as a warning for us, but rather actually as a source of encouragement for us. When Peter wept over his sin, his repentance was real. He didn't downplay or deny the significance of what he had done. He despised what he had done. But he also didn't give up and just walk away in hopelessness. Instead, he renewed his dedication to the Lord and would no longer deny his identity as a follower of Jesus, whether it was safe for him or not. And it was soon made as clear as can be that despite Peter's denial of Jesus that Thursday night, Jesus most certainly would not deny or disown Peter. That Sunday morning, when the women came to Jesus' tomb and found it empty, an angel told them that Jesus had risen and that they were to go and tell Jesus' disciples that he would soon be coming to them. And the angel mentioned one disciple by name, telling the women to make sure they told Peter. Peter needed to know that this was good news for him, too. Jesus himself also made that clear to Peter. In one of Jesus' appearances after his resurrection, he told Peter three times to feed his sheep, that is, to minister to his people. And the significance of Jesus saying that three times certainly would not have been lost on Peter. Peter's threefold denial of Jesus was matched by a threefold restoration of Peter by Jesus. Jesus was making it clear to Peter that his denial was forgiven and would not stand between them. When we look to Peter's experiences, there's a lot that we can learn for our own life as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus. In seeing both the highs and the lows, the spiritual successes and failures of Peter, we are seeing an honest portrayal of what the Christian life is like. As we heard in our epistle reading from Romans, Paul said of himself, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." What we hear Paul describing in those words is what we have been seeing in action in Peter. It's the inner battle that every Christian, Peter and Paul, you and I, it's the inner battle that every Christian faces and struggles with. Every Christian is both a sinner and a saint. And throughout this life, those two parts of us are at odds with each other, waging war against one another. Because that battle can be tiring, and it can be easy to get discouraged and to feel like we don't even really deserve to be called Christians, we need then to remember what God has told us through Paul and what he has shown us in Peter. But the call from Christ is not a call to come before him and be perfect. It's a call to the weary and heavy laden to come to him and find rest for our souls. Being a Christian isn't about thinking we'll become perfect. It's about knowing we are forgiven. And so it isn't about whether we deserve to be called Christians. It's about Christ graciously calling us and claiming us, even though we don't deserve it. And that's why in our epistle reading, Paul didn't stop with his words, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this?" But instead he went on to say, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We see that in God's mercy toward people like Paul and you and me. We see God's grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we see how deep that grace is, how deep his mercy is, especially in the Lord's forgiveness of Peter after his denial. Because there we see that there is no sin so serious that God will not forgive it. And that is true because there is no sin that Jesus did not die for. The point isn't that our sins aren't all that serious. Rather, it's that our sins are so serious that it cost our Lord his very life to save us from them. And that in doing that, in giving his life for us, he really did save us from all our sin. Forgiveness really is ours. And so we need to remember that no matter how far we might fall, the Lord who reached down to pull Peter up when he was sinking in the water, he is also there to lift us up when we are sinking down. And that the Lord who forgave and restored Peter after his denial still has his arms wide open to embrace in forgiveness every repentant sinner. Finally, we should also remember that the Lord who used forgiven sinners like Peter and like Paul to care for his people can also do far more than we might think through forgiven sinners like you and me. Earlier I said that I'm glad that the Lord has told us as much as he did about Peter, because there's a lot that we can learn from Peter about life as a follower of Christ, and that's certainly true. But even more, I'm glad that the Lord has told us these things because there's a lot that we can learn from Peter about Christ, about his great love for us sinners, about the forgiveness and life that we have in him. And so I would like to close this morning by quoting the last written words that we have from Peter, who concluded his second epistle by saying, "To Jesus Christ be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.